Hey, you're listening to Saxophone Alla Permitti on the CITR 101.9 FM. I'm in the studio today, and yeah, it's a snow day, but I still made it out. Anyways, today's episode is kind of just like a bunch of random stuff I put together from my favorites that I've played these last couple of weeks. And yeah, I thought I'd talk a little bit about my upcoming March shows. We've got a DJ set happening for the Musa Formal in the music department. So catch me mixing some Canadian classics with some current hip-hop rap artists. It'll be cool. And my thesis recital is on March 19th, and I think I'm going to call it Hauntology. So I'll leave it at that for now. We're listening to Psyche, and then play a little bit of my show, which kind of reflects some of the hauntological ideas I will try to convey through my recital in a couple of weeks here. But welcome to Saxophone Alla Permitti.
Sitôt que vous soupirez, je ne sais quoi qui m'effarouche. Crois parmi vos soupirs des soupirs égarés.
Yeah, I just thought I'd open with a little old vocal recording. But up next is the interlude This Moment from Solange's album A Seat at the Table. And if you already haven't tuned in,
if you don't understand us,
I would encourage you to tune in next week to both Saxophone à la Primitive and Saxophone la Nuit. This is home. But yeah, I like this interview. Voice, opinion, people, black perspective that she includes, so.
That been there for so many years. Not just come destroying, knocking our neighborhood.
More of this
down
on Saxophone Monday.
When they come there, you invisible. You know, you don't even have a number in the system. Nobody cares about you. Everything is about dollars and cents, you know, even when you're talking to government. You know, even you're talking about the preachers and the people that's running the community. And we have to show them the evolution of where we come from. I'm about to send a message to the world, like.
So you're listening to Saxophone Alla Permitti. And this is My Little Brown Book by Duke Ellington and John Coltrane. And I hope you're enjoying your afternoon to this song, if you're listening. For the last Saxophone La Nuit, I talked a little bit over this tune about hauntology and the African diaspora, but I thought I would just talk a little bit about my upcoming recital program, which was kind of inspired by one of my favorite saxophonists, Anthony Braxton. And you can read his writings, you can find his compositions on the tricentricfoundation.org. But something by Braxton that I hope to perform, if not in my recital, at least some point soon, is his ghost trance music. And it's quite interesting. Let me see if I can pull up a little something to read here for you all about Anthony Braxton's ghost trance music. So the words event space are important. And this is Erica Dicker on Braxton's ghost trance music. She writes, "Braxton's ability to identify intersections between various cultural, social, and artistic practices informs his compositional process, enabling him to write music that relies on and celebrates the creative agency of the performer. His musical systems supply architectural foundations for event spaces, where all performers are friendly experiencers, what Braxton calls listeners, can take part and engage with one another." And yeah, when I first started my master's degree, I read Enrique Dussel's Philosophy of Liberation, and it was probably one of the hardest philosophical works I've ever tried to understand. But what I did take from it was that as a performer or as a listener, proximity is important. How you approach attaining proximity with your listeners is important as a performer, and it's something I strive for in my performance practice. And I think Braxton has a good way of notating how to attain this proximity through improvisation. Of course, he notates music. It might not be entirely in the Western classical tradition, but he gives you a foundation so you don't have to just start improv with no idea how to do it. And I think that can be kind of helpful for people who didn't necessarily grow up improvising, sort of like reading music. But yeah, I've kind of done a bit of both in my early music career, not career, but practice. Anyways, March 19th, my thesis recital. You can tune in. Listen live via citr.ca. So this next piece coming up is called Savon by Christian Lauba from his Book of Nine Etudes. And this will be on the program. And this piece explores multiphonics on the saxophone. So up to three pitches at once ringing in the room. I think at one point there might be four as well. And one of the reasons why I'm so interested in this particular extended technique on the saxophone is because a lot of my favorite free jazz, avant-garde jazz, spiritual jazz, or just improvisationalist saxophonists such as Pharoah Sanders, Albert Ayler, who you'll hear a little bit later, even John Coltrane, Anthony Braxton, they all kind of utilize some sort of voicing or harmonic technique in their playing. And yeah, not only do I think it sounds wonderful and super ominous and mysterious, but I think it's an interesting environment to be in the concert hall if you're really just listening to the resonance in the room. But yeah, we'll listen to this. So there you have it, folks. Christian Laba's Etude No. 2 from book number 1 of his 9 Etudes, Savant, played by Yul Versovag. This is a universal message from Albert Ayler, from Nuit de la Foundation. What year was this? 1970-something? 1970. I haven't listened to a lot of this album. I haven't deep listened to a lot of this album. But something I learned in my undergrad degree when I took jazz with Dr. Patrick Boyle was, I think we had a class where some guest speaker come in and talk about deep listening. And she talked about looking at art deeply for like a long extended time period, or just sitting in silence and in the dark and just listening to music and deep listening. And so I think this message, this universal message from Albert Ayler, should be listened to deeply. And I'm saying this as I speak while the song plays, but I would encourage thy listener to search up this song and deeply listen. I just think it's interesting also, it's titled Universal Message, and then it has a little explicit thingy next to it, so. But yeah, it's just Albert Ayler improvising to a theme. A universal message, if you will. Thank you. We listen to this universal message from Albert Ayler. I have a few more messages, announcements to make. First of all, if you missed the beginning of this show, you're listening to Saxophone a la Permitti on the CITR 101.9 FM. And I, your host, have a few shows coming up in March. One, this is more fun. If you're a music student at UBC, come out to the Musa Winter Formal. I'll be playing a DJ set on Canadian classics such as Nickelback and Down with Webster, mixed with our favorite current day hip hop rap artists, Bad Bunny, Ice Spice, Doja. So, yeah, come on out if you want to dance. My DJ debut. And then March 19th, my thesis recital. I will be presenting this in the Barnett Hall, 12:30 on a Sunday. Come by or tune in on the CITR. So that's what's coming up. There is also another artist talk hosted by Ari Ciencia coming up in the future. We just had one, I think early February, or February 21st, which sounded amazing. It was one of his major works, J.G. Mayer's major works, called Chroma Chamber. And yeah, if you're interested in the intersection of art and science, I'd recommend coming out to one of these. The second talk will be hosted by Scott Billings, who's a visual artist, industrial designer, and engineer based in Vancouver. And his sculptural and video installations have been described as existing somewhere between cinema and automata, centering on issues of animality, mobility, and spectatorship. Billings' work examines the mimetic relationship between the physical apparatus and the visual motion that it delivers. So this year, Arsientia Scott is working with the quantum Collaboratory to make tiny, very, very tiny micrometer scale, negative scale, 3D printed structures. So, this talk is happening on Tuesday, March 28th at 1 p.m. in the Quantum Matter Institute, room number 311, if that is something that interests you. So, that was Albert Ayler's Universal Message from 1970 at the Nuit de la Fondation. And I have a little interview from Milford Graves to Albert Ayler up next, but we're going to take a quick ad break and we will be back with the saxophone in the afternoon. Stay tuned.
Hi there. You're listening to CADR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
CITR is powered by Guayaki Yerba Mate. Yerba Mate is a naturally caffeinated drink that comes in a variety of formats, from loose leaf to cans to bottles. Yes, the yellow ones. Guayaki Mate is all organic, non-GMO, and sure to make you come to life. Guayaki is more than just a Yerba Mate brand. They're focused on personal, social, ecological, and cultural growth through their commitment to regenerative practices, which include stewarding the South Atlantic rainforest and partnering with indigenous South American communities through the production of Yerba Mate. Visit guayaki.com, GUAYAKI.com, to learn more and find this delicious drink near you. Or stop by CITR station on UBC campus for a free Yerba Mate can.
Please fall into a deep, comfortable state of sleep, and then have a friend or associate play the audio.
I think you should straighten up a little bit. I think you should, you should look at yourself in the mirror sometimes and say, look, what am I doing? Why am I this way? You need a kick in the ass once in a while.
Fridays from 2 o'clock to 3:30 p.m., it's the Bepi Creston Presents radio show. It's CITR's 24 hours of radio art in a snack-sized format. Difficult music, harsh electronics, dark ambient, drone, spoken word, cut-up, collage, and general Creston weirdness. Bepi Creston Presents, Friday at 2 o'clock on CITR FM 101.9. Streaming at theplayer.citr.ca.
You know what I could go for right now? Authentic flour tortillas pan-fried until golden brown.
Yum!
Or vegan taco kits filled with traditional Mexican chilies and spices.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Or how about vegan potato and chorizo taquitos?
How can I get these foods immediately?
Buy Lita's Mexican Foods.
Sounds delicious. Tell me more.
Lita's Mexican Foods is a female-managed, plant-based Mexican food innovator in BC. Their products come prepackaged and frozen at tons of local grocery stores around Metro Vancouver. Not to mention they can be cooked in under 10 minutes.
Wow, that sounds perfect for me. I've been so busy lately and dinner takes so long to make. Where can I get my hands on some Lita's Mexican Foods?
Lots of places. Whole Foods, Choices, Stong's, Vegan Supply, Donald's, and even UBC Bookstore. Hey, where are you going?
To buy some Lita's Mexican Foods. See you later.
See ya.
How'd it go? Are we done with them?
No. They must have seen you.
I know that you're not too
I don't have any friends and you can too. Tune into Teachable Moments on 101.9 FM every Tuesday at 4 p.m. if you're a fucking dork.
I specifically said no geeks.
Well, my mom says I'm cool.
Hey, you're listening to Saxophone a la Primitive on the CITR 101.9 FM. Alex just rolled up to the stew, talking a little bit about his radio show.
What's up?
We've got Alex in the stew. And yeah, tell us about your show, Alex.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
Today, 3 p.m.
Yeah, today at 3 p.m. Chopped and Screwed is
Chopped
what it's called.
Screwed.
It's about sampling music. If you don't know what sampling music is, it's like taking a piece or an instrument or a chorus or a melody from one song and using it, interpolating it into your own song. And we're going to be talking about Freddie Gibbs, which is really fun. I'm really excited.
Yeah. If you don't know about Freddie Gibbs, tune in.
If you want to know about what kind of songs Freddie Gibbs and Madlib, ooh, that's a shout out. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
On the show samples, then tune in and we'll listen to some tracks.
You heard it here first, folks. Tune in to Chopped and Screwed. And yeah, we were just talking about Jay Dilla. So, you know, you're also a fan of donuts.
Yeah, donuts.
Yes, this is a great album to chill to.
Sure.
But have you ever heard Ornette Coleman's song Donuts?
Uh-uh. Let's listen to it.
Let's give it a listen. Ornette Coleman, one of my favorite saxophonists. He was sort of like the pioneer of free jazz. So that's how we know him. He was also the creator of the idea of harmonics. Do you know anything about harmonics?
No, please enlighten me though.
It's kind of like a manifesto of some sorts. I'll read some of it in a second here because I can't just explain it. It's something that has to be read. But I was playing this on my show the other day for Valentine's Day because I was like, I'm gonna talk about the things I love. And so then I was just like, there's so many songs about donuts, which I love. Well, there's like two, so.
Yeah. Sweet. I'm excited to hear it. Yeah, it is Harmela.
Yay! Shout out, Harmela. Anyways, this is some of Donuts.
Jay Dilla?
Albert Ayler.
Or Ayler, okay.
We just heard Jay Dilla. And, but let me see if I can find You might what? Oh, yeah. This is, harmonic manifesto. Ornette Coleman. Search that up into your Google search bar and give it a read. I mean, the first thing that comes up here, I guess this was published on a blog in 2014, November 27th. Says harmonics is the musical philosophy and compositional / improvisational method of jazz saxophonist Ornette Coleman. Alright. It is therefore associated primarily with the jazz avant-garde and the free jazz movement, although its implications extend beyond these limits. Fair enough. But you can kind of find like a PDF of this on this WordPress blog if you just Google it. And so, let's see, what can I read from Ornette Coleman's Harmonic Manifesto? Do you want to play ball? Harmonics as a playground. Approach playing music as playing with a ball alone and with others. Okay, so kind of the idea of proximity is playing in here a little bit. Moving with the movement in the flow of playing. Not necessarily thinking about how to throw the ball or how to catch the ball, but throwing or not and catching or not the ball. Keeping the ball moving. This is kind of like Kierkegaard's philosophy of dancing in terms of taking the leap of faith. I don't know what you believe, listener, but sorry, I don't know if that's rude for me to like refer to it. If I don't think anyone's really listening, but I just, anyways, Kierkegaard's philosophy of emulating a ballet dancer and leaping as if you're leaping into infinite space and will never land, as an analogy for taking a leap of faith. In terms of your beliefs. Anyways, I don't know. Read Kierkegaard Philosophy. It's one of my favorites. Fear and Trembling is a good book. But where were we? Keeping the ball moving, okay. The wonder ball goes round and round. Now play and keep on playing. The wonder ball, dot dot dot, la la la. And then a bunch of brackets in the middle with the word sense in the middle. Okay. I like that. He also quotes a lot of artists. Like, I think there's Duke Ellington quote somewhere in here. Frank Zappa too, Louis Armstrong, Wilhelm Reich. There's a little blurb from Bill Evans titled Improvisation in Jazz. He writes, there's a Japanese visual art in which the artist is called upon to be spontaneous. And this is sort of similar to something that Anthony Braxton talks about. He talks about having a surprise or the element of surprise in your plan. So spontaneity is important. But he continues writing that he must paint on a thin stretched parchment with a special brush and black water paint in such a way that an unnatural or interrupted stroke will destroy the line or break through the parchment. Erasures or changes are impossible. These artists must practice a particular discipline, that of allowing the idea to express itself in communication with their hands in such a direct way that deliberation cannot interfere. Interesting. So that's Bill Evans' take on improvisation. And yeah, there's more. Google the Harmelodic Manifesto, give it a read, and then do some improv. But let's refer back to our playlist for today. We've digressed to Donuts by Ornette Coleman, and we got there through J Dilla, the last donut of the night from his album Donuts, which is prolific. And yeah, back to the playlist I have queued up. This is actually from the Albert Ayler Story, which is an album that has a bunch of interviews from Albert Ayler, so I thought we would just hear the words from the man himself. This is Albert Ayler interviewed by Wilford Graves.
There was a lot of talk about the so-called new music movement, or avant-garde music, as Mama Baraka used to call it at the time, black music in the 60s. There was a lot of talk, and I heard it from all sources. I heard it from white sources, black sources, you know, that there was a lot of people felt, a lot of respected people felt, that there was a definite political movement in this country to stop so-called, at that time they would call it, oh, they used to call it new black music a lot, was another term used. There was a political movement to stop the music. Because if you take at the time Sun Ra, if you take even Pharoah, you know, a lot of people don't relate sometimes to the new music, you know, literature-wise. But if you take Albert, Giuseppe Logan was involved in that, and Dewey Johnson, and I mean, you can go right on down the list. And of course, I was involved in that. And most of us at that time were very active at a lot of different political events that was taking place in the black community, whether it was Bedford Stuy, whether it was Harlem. There was a lot of political fundraisings, and a lot of people were very upset, that we were told were very upset that the musicians were involved with so-called militant black leaders or civil rights leaders. It was told to me on several occasions that if I don't started playing downtown, that the music industry was gonna just negate me, totally, you know. But it was all this kind of talk. But anyway, it was told by sometimes people who were considered reliable sources that there was a definite political movement to stop the music, you know. There was different movements trying, the musicians was trying to organize, but for some reason it was always being stopped. But the importance really that I feel about this music is that historically there was different times in this country from social, political conditions that caused this music to make various changes. And those changes was always in relationship to like the more or less freedom and the more or less growth of oppressed people, not just black people.
Right.
I mean, total, because there were white musicians involved as well.
That's right.
See, so
that's,
this is just not a black music. You know, it was a people's music.
Right.
It just so happens that there were the greater majority of musicians that was involved was black musicians. But this music was like a growth factor for a new awakening. And we all know that music is very powerful. It's a gathering force, you know. I mean, people, it's an indirect way to communicate to people. They get abstract thoughts before they start to condense them into something that becomes like a sort of logical kind of a way to do things. So I think that the music was going to direct people into another area of consciousness. So that's the very importance of the music as compared to music today, that it doesn't work on a sort of conscious state that can, it makes you puppets, you know. You're constantly moving around in a circle where there's no kind of opening out, you know,
right.
The court. But, you know, like there were musicians in the 60s who had really came across something that maybe academically or technically didn't have a good understanding of what they were doing.
They
that
sure.
was made to think that what they were doing was totally, like, not happening because they couldn't, like, intellectually talk about the music. And I think it was a regression for a lot of people because certain people had a new kind of... I know one trumpet player, one of our greatest trumpet players from the bebop era, and I don't have to mention his name because he should be here. I mean, who else could I be talking about? Who we played on tour with in Europe. And I seen him, like, I mean, for me, it was such an inspiration, you know. And it was Dizzy Gillespie. When I saw Dizzy Gillespie sitting in front of my drums and I seen Dizzy Gillespie's head start moving in all kind of ways, that made me want to make his head just come off of his neck. You know what I mean? You know, because I said, go, Diz, because, you know, I used to watch Diz do that. And I said, for Diz to be sitting in front of my drums. And next minute, I know Diz was on the stage with his camera taking photos of us. So that was a hell of an inspiration. You know what I mean? New music, too. You know what I mean? So anyway, I had this trumpet player with me. And this guy didn't know nothing about scales or anything. But he had something else happening on trumpet. I seen another musician hire him. And he came back and told me, he says, hey, Milford, man, I didn't know this guy couldn't read music, man. I asked him to read charts and he couldn't read it. He said, man, when I heard this guy, I didn't know. I thought this guy, man, been to all kind of conservatories. I know another trumpet player, a great trumpet player today. I asked him when he got off the stage and told him all these high notes he was hitting. He said, man, what is this guy talking about? What high notes? This guy didn't know what he was doing. And that's what I hired him for. I said, hey, man, you don't have to, don't worry about nothing. I said, just play, man. Because I said, and I know somebody else used him that he definitely couldn't cut his music, but they wanted him for solos, man. Because this guy had another thing happening on trumpet, you know. And next minute I know this guy, but he's not functioning now, man. He was made to think after that he was not happening, man. Because there were some trumpet players, man, you're talking about, you can't play. And no, it wasn't enough of guys telling him, respectable musicians telling him that you do have something. So, I mean, what I'm saying is, sure, there were a lot of musicians that something was, there was a birth taking place. You know, the analyzation came after, and that's how this music started. It was a feeling that came out of the 60s that was opening up something, and that was stopped, man. It was squashed, you know? And that is the shame about what happened then.
All right, so you heard it there from Albert Ayler. That was an interview with Albert Ayler from Milford Graves. And yeah, you can check that out on the Albert Ayler story. It's an album on Apple Music. That's how I found it. But this is Angels from his album Spirits Rejoice. One of my favorites by Albert Ayler. And yeah. Usually I like to play a little spiritual message on my show in the afternoon. I'm obsessed with Duke Ellington's Come Sunday. So, yeah. And I was giving a few announcements earlier. My thesis recital, which is hopefully going to articulate some of Anthony Braxton's ideas on performance practice and improvisation. And also, I draw inspiration from Albert Ayler and Ornette Coleman as well. But yeah, I hope to draw a little bit from that in my playing and improvisation, and also kind of have like an ominous soundscape in the dark for you to listen to. And yeah, it'll be called Hauntology, broadcast on a Sunday afternoon, 12:30 p.m. So yeah, but let's listen to Albert Ayler. I think I've said most of what I wanted to say for today's show, so I might just let us enjoy the rest of the playlist I've got. Some Sonny Rollins from the album Work Time, which Gavin Walker from The Jazz Show recommended to me. You can give The Jazz Show a listen on Monday at 9 p.m. We've got Waltz for Debbie by Bill Evans and Cannonball Adderley, another one of my favorites. And then in terms of unaccompanied saxophone, I have Rafa Kema, who's one of my favorites in the concert saxophone realm, and he plays Cello Suite number 2, which I played in my last recital. I think the second movement, and Paganini Caprice number 4. Maestoso, also played by Rafa Kema. Two of my favorites by him, and yeah. Hope you're having a good afternoon, if you're listening. And saxophone a la Permitti on the CITR 101.9 FM. Listening to Saxophone a la Permitti on the CITR 101.9 FM. And don't forget, next week you can tune in to Saxophone la Nuit in addition to Saxophone a la Permitti at 1 p.m. and 11 p.m. but enjoy Waltz for Debbie, played by Bill Evans and Cannonball Adderley. The jazz show on Monday, 9 p.m., hosted by Gavin Walker. Plays a lot of amazing jazz. One thing I just thought about was he recommended to me this one saxophonist, Jackie McLean. And so perhaps give Jackie McLean a listen. But yeah, Cannonball Adderley, amazing tenor saxophonist. I just said tenor saxophone, but I'm pretty sure Cannonball Adderley actually plays alto and soprano. Not that it matters, I'm sure he's played all of the saxophones, but yeah. This next piece is It's Alright With Me by Sonny Rollins from the album Work Time. And it's not work time because it's a snow day today. And it's quite nice. I love when it snows. It's quiet, it's tranquil. Everyone kind of just takes a day off here in Vancouver, which is awesome. I'm from Calgary, so used to sticking it out and freezing to death. Anyways, Work Time is a great album cover, and great content from Sonny Rollins if you're a fan. I think my favorite album from him is Way Out West, which I did one of my first episodes on, was on Way Out West, and I think I called it Western / Country Jazz, and I was sort of trying to define a new subgenre of jazz inspired by Fallout New Vegas. So that's how my radio show started, but here we are. Today's a chill day. I'm kind of just playing whatever, playing some of my favorites from all of this music I have compiled for the year so far. But yeah, we've got 10 minutes left on the show, so I'm gonna play this, maybe some unaccompanied Bach or Paganini for the saxophone, and then there's a new song out by Gonben Ari, and I'm gonna play that. It's one of my favorite artists, and yeah, the title of the song is in Hebrew, but I have received a translation from a friend here, so I can, if you want to listen to the song, you might be curious, if you don't read Hebrew, what the song is called. So, it's called Come From Infinity by Gonben Ari. So, yeah, and this just came out recently. It's 4 minutes and 20 seconds long. And yeah, you'll hear it shortly. Anyways, have a good rest of your afternoon to all my listeners, and we'll see you next week, Tuesday, 1 p.m., Saxophone à la Permitie, and at 11 p.m. for Saxophone La Nuit next week. Thank you.
Hello, hello. She says she's talking, but I cannot.
Can you not hear the previous speaker? Can you maybe check the previous speaker volume?
Make sure that all the microphone channels are off. Okay, all the.
ולריחות בוא אל החלות של דנוש בוא מהאינסוף שים את המילים על הלשון בוא אל השיחות שלנו הבנות מתייפות פה ברמות שדה נדפק והכל נותן פרי או לפחות הנחה דליות בחיים שלך